Rafe Sunshine, Local 441, out on the Saanich Peninsula on Vancouver Island. This reminds me very much of the conference that was held a couple of years ago by trustees and PAC members and BCTF and CUPE, and another education conference. I know Mr. Chisholm was there addressing us on the same types of issues. Now, what I am looking at is the new programs that are being brought up from the states. I know I'm a teaching assistant, and I work with special needs kids. And we're not really invited along to the staff meetings that teachers and administrators usually call at the end of the day. So I just happened to wander in and see that they had a 60-minute little version of this AVID program from the states, where all these children are from inner cities are being brought along, and they are going to be getting up to colleges and universities. And I couldn't believe that such a program was going to be imported when teachers are feeling that they are burnt out, that any new programs are simply going to foster more of the inertia, of the feeling that they're already doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now we're supposed to be doing even more with and sending administrators off to Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and various other places, San Diego.
I'm sorry, could I ask you to come to your question?
Okay, my question is, where does all this new, these new programs that are coming up from the states, where does all the energy come to actually implement such programs?
Well, as someone who's done a fair amount of research on the quality of work life of teachers, I would say it comes from the quality of their lives, their relationships, their own sense of whether or not they spent their working lives in useful ways. Teacher distress is extremely high. We're paying a price. We're paying a price in addition among those kids who are taking education at post-secondary levels. I think a related aside, men have left the profession in droves. They're not going into it. In Ontario right now, the 89% of all teachers under the age of 30 in Ontario now are women. I mean, that in feminist research, as soon as women take over a profession, you know the whole thing has had the shit beaten out of it first.
Just one additional comment on that. I've had a look at the AVID program. The program in and of itself is interesting and it's effective. The problem is, if we put our kids through that, we're selling them a bill of goods. We have no space for them in the colleges and universities. We're raising these kids' hopes, and then we're just going to cut them off at the knees when they graduate. I mean, it's no good to cut them off the knees before they graduate, but I mean, what are we doing for them? Nothing. You know, government's not putting the pieces together here.
Go ahead.
Alice Lutz, QP 801, K to 12, on the Sunshine Coast, which I'm sure you know is pretty rural. We've mostly been a resource-based community, and of course that's shrinking and dying away. So for our high school students, which I work in a high school as a clerical, it's really hard for them to make a decision to leave the community, to pay all those big dollars to live off of the coast and take these courses, which may or may not lead to a job in the end. And I find watching through the career and planning that they have to do, they are really torn over leaving home. And what's happening with apprenticeships is a real issue. I don't know what the percentage of high school graduates that go on to university is. But watching what happens in our community, I would say it's quite small. And what happens to all those other kids? How do we encourage them and give them hope to take trades when the apprenticeship thing is so poor? And what I'm asking you is, can you give us some information that we can get to students who might be more suitable to the trades to give them hope to go into that kind of a field? Thanks.
Unfortunately, the trades and the recent changes to the apprenticeship system are not something I know well. I know from hearing from the BC Fed, from hearing from BCGU, and from QP, that the changes are not making the situation better. It's making the situation worse. In fact, what's happening is where, you know, the trades were about craft, were about learning something in its totality and applying it and you know, being part of the community, that it's being broken down to piecework. You know, no longer will a carpenter learn how to make cabinets, you know, how to frame houses, how to put siding on houses, how to build stairways. You know, today you're a framer. That's it. You know, you take an apprenticeship as a framer, and you know, you get to be a framer until there are no framer jobs left, and then you got to pay to go back and do it again to learn another sub bit. You know, my words are starting to fail me now. It's completely asinine. Let's just go there. It's asinine. It's fucked up. Yeah. At the same time, we need more well-trained apprenticeships. We need people in the trades. We're making it less attractive. You know, kids aren't stupid. They know that, you know, starting under the new apprenticeship system is starting like a greeter at Walmart. You know, it's piecework. It's dumbed down work. It's not satisfying. And it's no wonder we can't get them to go there. Even though the jobs are there, the work is there, the need is there, is it any wonder?
I'm going to have to ask Rob not to use these academic terms with us. Please.
Thank you. I'm Donna Peterson, Local 15, which is K-12 in Vancouver. My question, like in BC recently, the Liberal government has established boards and or commissions that are assigned tasks to look into various things. There's a BC Progress Board, and there's also a technology committee. And this technology committee has 21 people that are on this board that are from business or even places of learning. And it was their task, it was done in October 2001, to go around all the province and hold meetings to talk to everybody about what their needs are in terms of technology. And so, of course, they've given themselves, now they say everybody wants to have the whole province on broadband, and that will be done by 2006. And they start talking about e-education and e-business, and all that's just one of it. And I have a feeling that these guys don't dream up these things by themselves. Usually they're copies of something that's done in places like Ontario.
That's where the bad things come from. The good things come from Nova Scotia.
No, yeah. I don't think we follow the maritime much. Maybe too bad. But also, when they've been doing this since 2001, and when these boards come back and report, they actually go and change legislation. I don't know whether they're doing it by regulation or whether, you know, exactly how they're doing it. But I'm wondering, do you have a handle on what this is? Like, I don't think that e-education works. And it's not just a matter of saying all of this is bad. It's a matter of saying, what are they doing? Why are they doing? And what is it that we need to do to get what it is we want?
I think your observations are right on. There is something deeply illogical about our choices about technology, which makes our strategy making particularly difficult. You see, you go around and ask people what do they need. You're always focused on the magic of what technology might do in the future, and somehow we never stop and look at what it is doing in the present or has done in the past. And so I think it's really important that we begin to ask for evidence to support decisions, rational decisions around technology like we would around anything else. That's part of it. I think you need to really, really be careful of the people who are making the technology decisions. I think it's an area of expertise, not faith, that we need around the table, and not advantage. I mean, it's not surprising that Bill Gates was involved in funding the charter school referendum in Washington. It's not an accident. Technology has a very explicit interest in getting as much of public education to become heavy, addicted users of technology, regardless of the cost. Their job is not public education, it's making money. We need to remember the distinction.
I just wanted to, in terms of technology, you know, you may have noticed when I was speaking about how this was conceived, that, you know, P3s, the private sector, were going to be able to bring a lot of technology to our education system in Nova Scotia. That they were, all the schools were going to be wired. In fact, things in between the schools were going to get wired. The trees were going to be, like, everything was going to be wired up, right? And it was great, because it's also a way, or at least some communities saw it as a way, to deal with, you know, 4 or 5 or 10 or 12 people in a small community being able to access education without moving to a big rural school, right? And busing and all that. And, I mean, think about, and this goes back to another earlier question about how much money, public money, is put into technology. Think about, you know, the scandal in Ontario with Anderson, you know, doing the information system in community services. Mm-hmm. You know, tens of millions of dollars was spent. In Nova Scotia, the same thing happened, in both healthcare and in community services. And I think the point is that we're trying to, you know, we're trying to solve problems, we're trying to address needs, and, you know, these technology providers are selling us a bill of goods. And, you know, and like Heather Jane said, we've got to demand more accountability. We've got to demand more proof. We've got to ensure that, you know, we're not paying for something that is, a, you know, basically a concept in the mind of some consultant with a technology a company. So you know, we've got to be much more careful, I think, in what it is we accept.
And I think we need to be specific, actually, about what our needs are in the community. For example, sitting up here, where technology could help is in Golden, where those 6 kids want to do History 12. Why aren't we using the technology to hook them up or somewhere else where they are offering History 12 so they can get what they want? That's filling a need.
I know we all look forward to the latest trend from Nova Scotia, wired trees. However, we've come to...
Mind you, they all blew down in one last year. Damn.
We've come to the end of our session. We'll thank our guests appropriately after the next session, because they have agreed to stay with us and participate with you as we go through the next section. So I now hand you back to our chair.